Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom at voicesofmontana.com. We're just talking to our guest today, James Brown, Commissioner of Securities and Insurance here, about crypto and how for a couple of years I've been looking for somebody in Montana who knows about crypto. And I've kind of come up a little bit empty on that regard. Well, Jim's, can I say, a leading expert now in the state of Montana on that? He's going to shake his head no, because there's a lot to know about it. But one thing to know about here, and it's kind of frightening, the fraud that can be associated with cryptocurrency. We'll talk about that, some numbers there today, but also a lot else on the plate. Insurance innovation. There's also a data breach at Blue Cross and Blue Shield. We've got the Affordable Care Act, which now is becoming pretty clear it's an Unaffordable Care Act. James Brown today, Commissioner of Securities and Insurance and our state auditor on Voices of Montana. James Brown, how you doing, sir?
I feel good.
I know it. Actually,
get up off of that thing and dance to you.
That's a great way to start the show, right? Yeah. Thank you for that indulgence. I can't help it. You know, I got to tell you this story, too. James, we've been associated for a couple of years. He'd come in, do some things, you know. Every time I say, like, James Brown is going to be coming in studio, somebody in the huddle goes, ow!
Yeah.
So you got something going here, Jim. How you doing, man?
Doing good. You know, I love the name James Brown because it has a ballot ID of like 99% name
there
recognition.
You go. Yeah.
So that's how I keep winning elections, just on my name alone.
Plus, you got a pretty good voice, and I see you dance well too.
I do. Yeah.
Hey, boy, there's a lot of stuff on the plate here. I mean, you start where you want to start. You guys have been out and about. That's where I'll start, I guess, because I like it when you get out there, you're talking to people in Montana. They're not afraid to talk to you, you know. What are they saying? What are you hearing out there? I feel that there's a lot of pressure on them in a lot of different ways.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. We're living in a really interesting time in terms of policy matters and policy decisions. You know, the thing that I didn't really realize about the office I'm in, which is the auditor's office, first of all, the names and misnomers we talked about, we don't audit anything. What we do is regulate insurance and securities. And right now, if you look at national topics or policy issues, those two issues are forefront, both in the state and in Congress. What I'm hearing from people is, as I go out and talk to people, one is the affordability issue. I mean, it's becoming tough for people to
you
afford.
You can see it on their faces.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, everything's going up. We know that Biden inflation, I mean, it's a real thing. The cost of everything has gone up since 2020. Second thing is the amount of fraud that's being perpetrated on Montana is exploding. And then if you're following events, certainly on the national level with the government shutdown, you'll know that health insurance coverage is a big issue right now. So we deal in all three of these things. And so what I'm doing in town, though, is that, as we talked about before on the show, the legislature graciously gave my agency an extra $100,000 in authority to go out and start talking to Montanans about digital currency fraud.
I really appreciate that. I mean, yep. I think that's making a difference. I see you guys out there, and it's information that's important to them. I don't think they know how important it is. So good job getting out there.
Yeah, I mean, I got into this role, sworn in January 6th, went and talked to the appropriators immediately thereafter, asked them for a little more money because I had talked to people during my campaign in 2024, and this issue kept coming up. So one of the ways that we address this is try to educate the consumer about the fraud schemes that are going on. What's remarkable, though, is just the growth of fraud in the digital currency, cryptocurrency space. And so today we'll be talking to some folks in Billings about these types of scams, and particularly the scams that are going on with these crypto, Bitcoin, ATMs that have mysteriously popped up all over Montana in the last 2 to 3 years, and I had never really noticed them until this job, and now I notice them everywhere.
A couple of our colleagues were in attendance to the Chamber Ag Breakfast, which you spoke at, and they came back kind of with jaws dropped down about the statistics that you presented there. You're going to tell us here as well. It was how's this happened too?
Oh, absolutely. It is absolutely remarkable. So what is a Bitcoin or a crypto ATM? It's a machine that looks just like an ATM, except the difference is when you go to a regular ATM, you put your card in and you get some money back out. As I like to explain with these crypto ATMs, you put money in and your money goes overseas and you never get to see it again. The Federal Trade Commission shows consumers reporting over 110 million in losses to scams involving Bitcoin ATM machines in 2023. That's a tenfold increase since 2020. In Montana, the number one fraud scheme that we're seeing now that's being reported to us, to our agency, involves scams involving cryptocurrencies and ATMs. It's overtaken. It used to be historically the romance scams were the number one form of fraud that was being perpetrated, but this is growing unbelievably. Over 2 million reported to us just in 2025 alone in digital currency scams, with the average loss to Montanans of 182,000, if you can believe it.
Yes, I can. And I can, because nobody knows enough about it. And that's why probably fighting the fraud and getting to perpetrators is real difficult.
It is. So we are a criminal justice agency at the auditor's office. That's one thing that many, many people don't know, is we actually have the ability to file criminal charges, investigate crimes involving financial fraud or healthcare insurance fraud. We have a staff of four attorneys and four investigators that do this work. But the problem that we're seeing in the digital currency space, like through these crypto ATMs, is the perpetrators of this fraud are not located within the boundaries of Montana. I can assure you, many of these people are foreign nationals. Where we're seeing it, and through discussions with the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who we work with pretty closely, the two biggest nation state sponsors of this type of fraud, and this isn't going to surprise anybody, are China and North Korea. And so I have no jurisdiction to prosecute somebody out of China or North Korea. That's up to either the FBI or federal government, Department of Justice, or Interpol, which is the international police. All we can do is take the complaints and then forward that information up to prosecute. Now, the good news is the Montana is very ahead of the curve in dealing with this type of fraud. We're one of only six states in the entire United States that has a fraud restitution fund, where people can get, if they've been the victim of fraud, some restitution or reimbursement. But unfortunately, the amount that I'm limited by statute to provide for any single occurrence is $50,000. And so if the average loss is $182,000, people are still out $130,000. It's tragic.
And we got to make those warnings pretty clear on this. James Brown is with us in office here. He's Montana's Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, State Auditor's Office as well. And out, like I said, I'm glad to see you guys out in public, addressing these kinds of issues. What is Bitcoin? I mean, what is cryptocurrency? I have never, to be honest, and I think I share those feelings of a lot of people, I haven't trusted it. I don't know that the federal government is going to recognize it. It certainly has become a currency that I can't access very well. So what is crypto? And it's created by somebody doing a math problem or some computer doing a math problem. I don't have a concept of what this is, so I don't know what kind of value to put on it.
Yeah, well, to start off where you started off with this conversation, so I'm certainly no expert in the cryptocurrency field, but I'm telling you, I'm learning with every single day. I at least have a pretty good working knowledge of it. So you have to distinguish the various forms of digital payments or digital systems. So you have tokens, digital tokens. People may have heard about this. This is the ability to trade basically one technological service for another as a form of payment without reducing it to legal tender, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And that idea I kind of like.
Right. Know? It's a barter system, essentially. System. Yeah. Then you have cryptocurrencies, which are actually designed to be a form of currency and or payment. Mm. Now, you may have seen that Congress here in 2025 is actually doing federal legislation to essentially legitimize cryptocurrencies and make it a form of legal tender. That can be equated to like a digital currency that can be reduced to a one-on-one basis to the U.S. dollar, right?
Right.
So you could take your currency and then actually turn it into cash. We're going to see that as becoming more and more of a form of legitimate payment. Then you have what is known as Bitcoin. Okay, this was the original thing that we heard about 15, 16 years ago, and I wish I would have been smart enough to invest in some of this at the time, but I thought...
Don't say that, because it burns me, too.
Right? Yeah. So what the concept of Bitcoin is designed, the very purpose of that was to avoid government regulation and to use it as a digital form of payment so that you're not having the government involved or monitoring transaction. Bitcoin, the way, I mean, it was designed basically to be dark web, if you will, to do transactions that weren't able to be seen. But what it's become now is it's become an investment vehicle. Okay. So the way that I look at this is that you can treat Bitcoin now as like a commodity. And one of the bills that Congress is looking at is to create a commodity market, believe it or not, for Bitcoin, much in the way you would have a, you know, your corn commodity or that sort of thing. So you've got the different things. And then all of this is tied to what is known as the blockchain. Okay. And this, what this is essentially, if you've worked at a bank or whatever, or if you balanced your checkbook and you have your ledger, right, you're in and out. All this is a digital ledger. It's pretty remarkable. The people that came up with these concepts far smarter than me, I can tell you that. You know, but I like to
they're
say
they're probably still in their mom's basement though too. Okay.
Well, they may be, but they're very rich.
Yeah. Right,
they have very nice TVs in their mom's basement. I can tell you that. Probably driving a Bugatti too. What I like to tell people, and this is true, I believe 2025 is a watershed year in United States history. And I really believe that, not only because of what's happening on national events in the Trump administration and the fundamental questions that are going on about our democracy and how we're going to move forward. But 2025, when people look back at, you know, the year 2100, they'll say 2025 was a watershed year in terms of how we do commerce in the United States because of the growth of these digital currencies.
I'm surprised that it has moved so well. Maybe not so surprised. I mean, the dynamics in Congress. There's a lot of elements that feed into that. I am a bit surprised it has moved to this point. What's the likelihood of like this national? Except you talked about some bills in Congress. Are they going to struggle? Do they need to be amended and fixed? You know, will this become a part of our financial structure permanently?
Yes, absolutely. It's already trending that way. So the answer is yes. So the concept of a cryptocurrency is going to be a recognized form of legal tender.
Okay. Right?
So that just put that in your bank, if you will, and think about that moving forward. The concept of the Bitcoins, as soon as Congress passes some kind of bill to allow it to be treated as a commodity in a market and regulated, then that will become part of it too. Are these bills, where are they at in terms of Congress? I can tell you, yes. As the state auditor of Montana, I am working with other insurance commissioners and securities commissioners across the United States to try to amend these bills to make sure that the fraud prosecution and detection piece that we have as the states is not preempted by the federal government.
Thank you.
What we're seeing, and this is troubling, is that the federal government is more recently ratcheting down on prosecution of digital fraud. And so it's falling a lot onto the states and people like me to prosecute these types of crimes. And if we're preempted in our state authority to go after bad actors, I'm really afraid that American consumers are going
to
be harmed.
James Brown, to my right here, welcome back from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana. Jim is in studio, our Commissioner of Securities and Insurance, state auditor as well. Previously served in the Public Service Commission and other areas in Montana, too. I really appreciate you coming on. And you do have a great understanding of, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you do have a great broad understanding of a lot of issues because of your lifelong, existence here in Montana. It's still in the Dillon area, family farm, all of that. So thank you for coming and sharing that. We got to finish up here on cryptocurrency. We got to get to those warnings that people, kind of need to hear. And then we'll get on to Blue Cross and Blue Shield, the identity breach.
Yeah. In closing on this, matter, these scams start through chats, social media, emails, texts, pop-ups, and phone calls from strangers. That's just a huge red flag. The number one thing that we tell people at our office when we go out and make these presentations is to slow down. Just slow down. Scammers want you to rush out to the nearest Bitcoin ATM, put your money in, and then, send your money off to wherever it is. Just take a pause, take a minute, verify who you're talking to, verify who you're responding to. Never click or link or answer unexpected calls or messages. We know that. We get these things all the time now. Never withdraw cash in response to an unexpected call or message. Only scammers will tell you that. The federal government, the IRS, is never going to contact you through a text message or an email.
That's so right. Thank
that's
you.
That's a huge signal. And then don't believe anyone who says you need to use a Bitcoin ATM to protect your money or to fix a problem. Just slow down. Just slow down. Don't do anything rushed, and you're less likely to become a victim.
And maybe reach out as well. I mean, if they have questions, your office is always available for things like that, too.
So, oh, absolutely. So yeah. Our phone number is 406-444-2040, or you can reach us online to csimt.gov, csimt.gov. The legislature tasked my office with protecting Montana consumers, and we take that duty seriously, so please reach out to us if you have an issue.
This is part of the next question as well, in terms of we have a security breach, a Blue Cross Blue Shield. They're a little bit slow in getting that out. You guys are investigating that now. But there is so much, I think, to consider with today's technology and the new ways that scammers are coming at people. And so as much as you guys can make a move to block them here, they are quickly scurrying around this way. So in relation to that, what kind of tools do you need now that we see this emerging technology becoming an enemy in this regard?
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up because many interviews I have don't talk about this. So as you stated, the frauds are coming way more sophisticated than they were 30 years ago, right, when you're dealing with check fraud. Not that that still isn't happening, because it is, but with the growth of AI and the ability of these fraudsters to create
the voice of your grandson in jail. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it's hard. It's getting harder and harder to detect these fraud. And they're also becoming more sophisticated, even in their email phishing scams. I mean, knowledge is power. We've been putting out missives through our agency talking about how you protect yourself online and from online type scams. One of the things that you actually have pulled up here on your computer is that I'm the first agency in the state of Montana to start incorporating AI into our everyday operating systems.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So you can literally go on our website and you can interact with our internal AI now to talk about what we're going to talk about a little bit later here, which is the data breach that was happened to Blue Cross Blue Shield. But we're working with vendors right now to talk about the way that we can use AI as regulators and criminal justice agents to protect Montanans. And so technology can be used for good and it can be used for bad. But I know this much: as we are talking about what the United States and the world is going to look like by the year 2100, I can tell you that AI is going to be equally as pervasive as digital currencies.
Hopefully, ethics, I think, lags behind discovery. That's always been the case, so to speak. What tools do you need? Do you need more regulatory? Do you need more teeth in some of these things? what is the next step in as this fight advances?
This is an extremely timely question. if you were at the Ag Chamber breakfast this morning, I actually talked about this. So just this week, I sat down and penciled out about 15 things I would need from the legislature to beef up our enforcement authority. And top of that list is I need the ability. I am a criminal justice agency, but I don't have the ability to issue subpoenas to investigate instances of reported fraud and abuse. I still have to go through a court, have a court sign off, and then work with a county prosecutor for service and that sort of thing. And what I don't understand is the Department of Labor for the state of Montana has independent subpoena authority. But I, as the Commissioner of Insurance and Securities, don't. So that's going to be my number one ask.
That can be a fix, though.
That can be a legislative fix. Yeah. The second thing is that I'm going to ask, I asked for additional resources from the legislature to do the consumer education and outreach piece. I have four investigators on staff right now that look into these purported instances of fraud and abuse. I have four attorneys that work on this. We are overwhelmed. We cannot keep up with the number of cases. I'm going to ask for some additional authority to beef up our enforcement side. And the people are going to say, well, are you blowing up government? But we've talked about before just how remarkable an agency the state auditor's office is. I've told you before, I have a budget of $11.3 million. And if you take 1.1 million Montanans, you're talking about $11 per Montanan for our services. But we bring into the general fund, as we've talked about, we bring in almost $230 million to the general fund for the operations of the state. I think the legislature can say, hey, you can keep a little more of that revenue you bring in to help fight fraud.
That'll be a strong case.
I would think so.
Yeah,
but.
And so there's a list of 15 things. Good. Some of them's low-hanging. Some of them are probably larger reaches, right? Talk about some of those larger reaches then. Go to the bottom of the list and what's on that really wish list, so to speak.
Yeah, that what I just talked to you is probably...
That's it, yeah.
I mean, it would be high on priority, but bottom of realistic of actually perhaps getting from the legislature, because as we know with the discussions of what's happening with Montana's budget and property taxes and that sort of thing, that would be, the legislature, and rightly so, is very reticent about growing the size of government.
I get that.
I think we can make a strong case for that.
Well, that'll be on your plate here. Well, it's continuously on your plate, I suppose. Yeah. I appreciate that. We got a couple of phone calls with Skip and Hamilton and Chris in Columbia Falls. We'll get to those. I'm too close to a break here. And we didn't really touch on Blue Cross Blue Shield, but the investigation is going. Can you give me a quick status on that? I got about a minute here.
You bet. So I'm sure you saw in the news, 462,000 Montanans' personal information has been compromised. This was done not through Blue Cross Blue Shield, but one of its third-party vendors, but it's Blue Cross Blue Shield's.
I think a million nationwide.
Too. Yeah. And like I said, 462,000 Montanans. I opened up an investigation immediately to see what has happened. I've been in communication with both Conduit, the third-party vendor, and Blue Cross Blue Shield, and we're still gathering information on that. But speaking of beefing up enforcement authority, believe it or not, the legislature has limited my ability for a penalty in these types of matters. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
No, this is going to be a...
$250.
No, well, close.
Close?
Close. This is going to be a real dissuader, right? $25,000 is the maximum I can find.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, right. Yep. For a company that has like a million breaches, right?
Yep.
Well, and that's the issue, too. No, they're dealing with the same challenges that everybody else is when it comes to technology, too. And so... but you just can't have those kind of breaches. Talked about crypto fraud in the country. Losses related to crypto currency fraud in 2023 in the U.S. exceeded $5.6 billion. And here's why it mattered. A 45% increase over 2022. We got some of that covered, and I really appreciated James Brown, who's in studio here. Ow! Sorry, Cody wasn't ready to give that, so I had to do it verbally. Go ahead, Cody. Thank you. I needed that. Where was I going with that? Cryptocurrency. Got past that a little bit. And we got a couple of phone calls. I do want to get to the ACA here, the American, the Affordable Care Act, because obviously shut down. We've got an open enrollment process, a lot of confusion. And their information is coming out about that program. And then we've talked about it here, how overexpensive it is and how much fraud there's actually in healthcare and things like that. So a lot to sort through there. Let's take some phone calls, though, as we promised. Skip listening in Hamilton on KLYQ 1290 AM. Good morning, Skip. Thanks for calling in today. You're on with Jim Brown.
Good morning, Tom. And good morning, Jim. And for people that didn't realize it, that background music was actually the other Jim Brown. I wasn't sure if anybody really realized that.
We need to probably just start a new. We need to fire up that fan base again. You're right, Skip. So that'll be.
If you ever get a chance to hear Jim Brown speak, he always tells everybody ahead of time that he feels good. Right, as soon as he gets on stick. But meanwhile, I had a situation here that I'm sure is just an example of many. And as a senior citizen that's on Medicare. And I have a Blue Cross Blue Shield Advantage plan that maybe we could use as an example. I'm going to get a small increase in my cost of living for my Social Security, but I find out that the increase in my premium for my Blue Cross Blue Shield Advantage plan eats up all but a couple of dollars of that, just like it did the last time. And so I wonder, because I only have a couple other choices, one of them a Humana situation, and I've had the same insurance guy, and we sat down again like I do every year and found out what's best for me, and it still looks like sticking with Blue Cross Blue Shield Advantage has more upside than on my other choices. So my point being, there's a lot of people in the same general situation. Why does something like an Advantage plan have such a dramatic increase? And I still believe they know how much I'm going to get for an increase in my cost of living. And they just say, well, let's see how much of that we can get. That's kind of what it feels like, Jim. So I just thought, can you explain to us senior citizens what to look out for and how to choose these things? And by the way, I don't think it was mentioned since I've been on listening that at these very intricate times, it's very important to know that Jim Brown is the first person as our insurance commissioner that's actually credentialed in all forms of insurance. That's pretty special right now when we need it the most. So thank you and have a nice weekend, and I'll listen off the phone.
Thank you for dropping that out there, Skip. Congratulations on that, Jim.
Yeah, thanks. First, it's great to hear from Skip. I know him quite well. He's always very complimentary. I appreciate that. So on the last piece, I'm an overeducated individual, I would tell you that. As you know, Tom, my primary form of making income prior to being elected to public office was I was an attorney.
Practicing law, yeah.
Yeah, but part of that, as we've talked about many times, is I represented senior ag production in Montana. But I also, part of
wool growers love him, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to my people.
Yep.
And I know Dave is listening there on the Highland.
We're going to see him in a couple of weeks.
But the second thing is that I also advised private businesses as to, you know, creating businesses and operation and that sort of thing. And the thing that I found out as a private attorney was I had a real non-knowledge of how insurance worked, or insurance products. And so I literally took insurance classes and then sat down to take the test to get licensed as a producer in Montana so that I would have that knowledge. So I am a licensed insurance producer. As you can imagine, I don't sell insurance or do anything in the field. It'd probably be a conflict anyway, but...
thanks for that effort.
But I wanted the knowledge, and it's been very helpful for this position. It's part of the reason I ran for it, because I had the legal and insurance knowledge. Rising cost of health insurance, I think, is the fundamental point of Skip's talks. It is really one of the most urgent issues facing Montana's families and small businesses. We're seeing increases along all lines of insurance, not just health insurance, to the Medicare Advantage plans. This is pretty interesting. I don't regulate those plans that's done by the federal government. I've actually talked to Troy Downing, the former state auditor and current congressman, and I think he agrees with this, is that actually the state should have a role. State insurance agencies should have a role in regulating those plans. I'd love to have that ability to help Montanans like Skip. But, I don't want to go out there and just beat up on insurance companies because, a lot, you know, they have to do premium rating based on a variety of factors, as you can imagine. One of them is profitability.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we are the United States. We are a free market. We want businesses to do well. I mean, the election in New York may be a bellwether as to where we're going with that, but setting that aside. Some of the reasons that insurance is going up, this is true for the ACA plans, medical inflation, okay? Rising hospital and physician costs across the nation. I can tell you this is a huge driver of insurance costs because medical providers are charging more, in fact, double what the inflation factor is for the economy. Second, prescription drug inflation. Let's face it. The really good news about living in 2025 is we're living longer and we're becoming more and more people are becoming seniors. That's a good thing. But you know, becoming a senior comes with having health problems. And so a lot of people need medications and particularly the cost of specialty medications. I mean, these are very costly for R&D for the drug companies. A big one is the post-pandemic work pressure and hospital consolidations. I mean, the way that our healthcare system is set up, this is a problem with what has happened on the federal level. We'll talk about ACA, but you know, the concept of the small town doctor, right, where you just go to your general GP like you and I had growing up in rural Montana.
Yeah,
there's really no such thing now. They're driven into a hospital type provider.
Yep, hospitals buy these clinics outright, as a matter of fact, and that's a model that's almost swept the whole country.
Correct, and that's been a problem for costs.
Yep.
And then, of course, fraud and abuse. I mean, we are investigating. I had talked about this at the Ag Chamber breakfast this morning. We are investigating a scheme that impacts Montana, where this is terrible. It makes me literally angry. You have fraudulent drug and alcohol providers popping up in the southwest portion of the country, in Arizona and California. And what they're doing is that they come to Native American reservations and they literally transfer Native American populations down to these treatment centers and then fraudulently provide treatment and then bill insurance companies. And we believe right now that the amount of fraud just from that scheme is about totaling around $50 million to Montana's insurance companies.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. I mean, think about that. What does that do to cost of your insurance product?
Yep. And so everybody's dealing with this in a lot of different ways. How do we sort through it? I mean, and maybe it's not fair. And stand by, Chris. I want to get to you as well. But, you know, people have worried that what this is going to, you know, Obamacare, what it was going to eventually lead into was, you know, government paid for sponsored health care. And it seems like that track is still tracking.
Yeah, one of the main criticisms, if you go back 15 years to when the national debate was occurring with the Affordable Care Act, was what would happen to premium costs if the federal government took over 1/6 of the private insurance market, right? There was concerns that anytime you get government involved in anything, particularly a guaranteed payer, the price of everything is going to go up. Right.
Yep.
And that's what we're seeing. I have been quoted many times in the newspapers in Montana that the Affordable Health Care Act is not affordable. We've talked about the enhanced premium subsidies, which is one of the basis for the government shutdown.
Right.
Whether to extend that. I have come out publicly and stated, yes, probably should be extended for at least one more year because people are relying
tough
on
time.
This. And yes, it's tough times.
Right,
the affordability crisis. But I've also come out and said that the Affordable Care Act is not working and it needs to be reformed. You can't have the government take over the private insurance market and think that costs are going to go down.
Gotcha. Talked about a ton of things here important to us. Insurance rates, you know, marketing practices there, the rise of fraud in the digital asset crypto world, the regulatory landscape as well for the Office of Securities and Insurance. Commissioner of that office, James Brown, here with some closing thoughts. So I appreciated Chris's comments. Wanted to get to that as we see so many elements that are affecting our policy. When and how does logic peer through?
Well, One would think that logic would prevail over the day, and certainly I'd like to think we live in a state where common sense still rules the day. I mean, we are very fortunate to live in Montana, which is a very well-run state. Yeah. And I would say to Chris's comments, two things. One, thank goodness Montana's constitution has a balanced budget requirement, right? I mean, we don't have deficit spending in the state that we're seeing on the federal level, which is becoming, frankly, a national security issue. It's one of the greatest challenges this country has ever faced. Now, the second thing is people look to the federal government and federal programs more and more to provide them something, instead of having the mentality about that has grown this country, which is that we need an environment where you can do for yourself and succeed. We're going to have more and more abuse of federal programs. I just identified that we've identified $50 million in fraud and abuse through the ACA, through these drug treatment center programs. Can now extrapolate that out to what's happening at the Department of Defense, for example. Can you imagine the amount of fraud? That's a policy question. It's being debated as part of the government shutdown right now. I mean, we can't keep spending as we do. But to sort of wrap up what we talked about, our agency covers a variety of different topics, all very important. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about everything from state trust lands management to fraud, to insurance rates, to creating business climates. We met earlier this summit in the Investing Montana Summit, where we try to create jobs in Montana. But above all, our agency is a consumer protection agency. We are tasked by the legislature with helping Montanans. And we take that duty very seriously. Again, I'll give out the number to our agency, 406-444-2040, 406-444-2040, or you can go online at csimt.gov. I'd recommend you do that just to look at our new AI feature on our website. You might have some fun with that. I've seen some of the interesting questions that have already been answered. you're asked, and the responses that AI gives, it's actually kind of amusing. But I want people to know, I ran, as you know, my slogan in 2024 was Montanans first, because I am a Montanan and I have always put Montanans first. And I'd like to think in the 11th month that I have had this job, I have gone out there and fought for the average Montana, and trying to keep Montana affordable.
I think you got receipts to show that.
I do.
Yeah. Thank you. Jenny McKinney, good to see you in studio again too. Yeah. James, thanks, man. Safe travels all around. And you're invited back. Welcome anytime, right? I want to know what people are telling you and the issues they're dealing with and the hard times on their face as well. But there's optimism. I mean, we still live in the best country, the best state in the best country, for that matter.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.